You're listening to the Crystal Archive Podcast, Episode 9, with your host, Dwight House. 100% Crystal, 100% of the time.
Thanks, Cap, the Leopardess, for our intro to the Crystal Archive Podcast, episode number 9. I am, of course, Dwight House, your host for this podcast. First, I'd like to start off by explaining why the podcast was so late. And that's pretty easy to explain. My brother and sister, my siblings, are home from college currently, and finding time when they're not around to record this podcast is, well, it has been quite a bit difficult, but I've managed to find some time. And for some other podcast-related activities, which you'll hear more about in mere moments. As for the website, you may or may not have noticed that the Crystal Archive went offline for about a week last week. It was a total of around 6.5 days. It went totally offline. No one was able to access the site. That was because I was moving servers. I switched, as I said I would. I was switching from Kanaka web hosting to DreamHost hosting. It was fairly straightforward, but the transfer of the domain name, DwightDesign.com, turns out it took a week. The actual files transfer didn't take long at all. However, it took a week to transfer the domain name ownership from GoDaddy.com, who had previously hosted the domain name, to DreamHost, where I now host the account, and it's back online. And also because of an issue with the copying of the files from a temporary location, I actually had to re-upload the entire Crystal Archive. None of my other websites, just the Crystal Archive, the one that I had the hardest time getting uploaded, because it has more than a gigabyte of files worth on that whole website. So that took a little extra time. So even when the website was back online for you guys, at the end of last week, it was still missing most of the video section, most of the video files, because those are the largest files. So I had to re-upload all the videos from my computer. That took a better part of 2 days. But now the Crystal Archive is back online exactly the way it was before the outage, and it should be much faster and nicer, and we'll have more space and more bandwidth all the time to do all this great stuff with. So I did manage to get transferred to the new hosting before I ever did the redesign of the website. So I'm sorry it's taking so long with the redesign and therefore holding up a lot of updates, but work is coming along. I've already begun the basic template design for the new website design, and I'm going to go with in a pretty different direction this time. And I'm planning on posting a beta screenshot of what I want the template to look like on the blog after I post this podcast, which most likely will be tomorrow. Today is May 29th, so May 30th you should be listening to this podcast. So let me start, since the podcast is so late, it's been so long, almost, it's been at least a month and a half since the last one, I'm going to start where I left off the last podcast and go from there, summarizing the different events that's happened since then. First of all, I finished school. I've finally graduated college with a bachelor's degree in computer science. And so I was really excited about that. I managed to get all A's my last semester and therefore got a honorary cum laude status on graduation. I got these little yellow cords to walk across the stage with. So I was pretty happy about that. Graduated with honors in computer science, and I'll soon be going off to DigiPen to become a master of computer science, focusing on game design. So for those of you, and there are strangely quite a few of you, who are interested in my personal life, I thank you. For your interest, I am doing very well. I just registered for classes at DigiPen just today. So that's gonna affect things. I probably won't have enough time to do the podcast, so I'll have to suspend it for 6 months at a time, most likely, at DigiPen. So that's a big deal. Now, throughout the time that I haven't been able to update the podcast, there's been a lot of crystal art coming out, less in the last couple weeks, but quite a good number. I'm going to have at least another 100 to update the site with when I finally get around to doing that. But in the meantime, I've been placing all the new crystal art I've found on the crystal blog at fairly regular intervals, maybe once a week or twice a week or something like that. Anytime I get a fair number of crystal art, fan arts, maybe more than 10, I'll post it somewhere on the blog, and also at the Mega Crystal Fan Art post on StarFoxOnline.net's forums. And by the way, if you're interested in Star Fox, you should definitely join Star Fox Online. We're fixing to do a big revamp of that. And that's another thing I should mention. I'm not really going to be able to finish the Crystal Archive redesign until I finish redesigning the homepage for StarFoxOnline.net's page, which I'm actually quite far along on. I just posted a third version of my template I'm building for the WordPress installation there at Star Fox Online, and it's looking pretty good. A nice red and gray color scheme with some blue in there and different pictures. Check it out. And if you're not a member of Star Fox Online, I'd recommend you go there, look at the homepage for StarFoxOnline.net. It's StarFox-Online.net, and check the second post down, and that'll be about the upgrade to the theme. And post comments. Anyone can post comments there. You don't have to sign up. Tell me what you think of the new design. I'm interested to hear your opinions about that, and your suggestions and complaints or whatnot. Let's see, what else happened? Little Dragon and Fox Hunt / Charlie Fox. Charlie Fox goes by that name everywhere except the KLA. On the KLA, he goes by Fox Hunt. But anyway, he has been continuing to give new models to Little Dragon, who continues to animate them. So there's been a lot of new 3D animated crystal art coming out recently, including some voice clips where Little Dragon had the crystal's mouth moving along with the words from the Crystal Archive audio section, and they've even had a picture of Crystal running on the, as if she's on a Baywatch episode, running along the beach in her leotard and top there. So and you can see that in different places, but mainly that's on the KLA where he releases that stuff. Another big thing that happened was Cat the Leopardess revealed her Crystal cosplay outfit. That is, she dressed up as Crystal for Califer this year, 2007. That was only a couple weeks ago. Now, I've known about this for quite some time, several months. She asked me to help her with building the costume, get some ideas for what the tattoos should look like, and get high-resolution images and stuff, and I helped her however I could. And we've been in fairly constant contact about her project to create a crystal outfit. And she finally revealed that just a couple weeks ago, and to much everyone's surprise, it was very well done, considering the inherent difficulty of translating a human body into something else's body. Especially when it's like not a Hollywood studio doing the makeup. She did a very good job. So, and you're going to get to hear a lot about that. And that's the reason why this podcast is a two-part podcast. Because she graciously allowed me to interview her about how she created the costume and that sort of thing. And that is in the second part of Episode 9. There's two parts of Episode 9, 9.0 and 9.5, or Part A and B. I'm not sure what I'm going to call them yet because I haven't finished recording, but this is the next part is the interview, because it's almost 50, it's over 50 minutes long, so I didn't have time to put this news and information in there. So whenever you're done listening to this one, which shouldn't be too much longer, head on over to the second audio file and listen to the interview. And then the next big thing that happened was, of course, Crystal Archive went offline. And it was an unexplained outage. I didn't have the ability to say, hey, I'm changing stuff before it happened. I thought it was only going to be a 2 or 3 minute thing. Turned out it was going to be a week thing. So that's why I was out. Sorry about that, guys. But it shouldn't be going offline anytime soon, because I don't plan on moving again unless something really bad happens. And the final big thing is that the Brawl website, the Super Smash Bros. Official website, namely Brawl, is its focus now, has come back online after a 7-day countdown, and it says, and it has been slow every day, every working day in Japan at the end. It's sometime around 6 p.m. Japan time. It's sometime around 3 a.m. here. They post something new, one or two posts on their blog-like interface explaining something about the new game. It's not quite what we had wanted, a lot of new revealings, and they haven't shown any new characters yet, but to date they've shown two new items, or at least explained more about two new items. So go check out that site, smashbrothers.com, and keep watching it every day. They even have an RSS feed. You can track that, and hope maybe they'll really reveal some new characters on that. Who knows? They've got enough material to last for years, and it's unlikely that they're going to keep that game that long. It's going to come out sometime this year, because Mr. Reggie, president of Nintendo of America, has been adamant at explaining that Brawl, along with Metroid Prime 3, which has been dated, and Super Mario Galaxy will come out in 2007. So that's something to look forward to. Still no Crystal-related Brawl news. Sorry about that, but the situation is getting better. And of course, go to the next part of the podcast, the second file in the podcast. And the reason why it's two files is because Odeo has a limit of 1 hour for podcasts. And since the interview with her was 50 minutes, a little over 50 minutes, I'm going to have to switch over to the next file. But before we go, we have some questions. Now, Ryan Sharp, which I've answered his questions many times, a couple times before on the podcast, has sent me a ton of questions since the last podcast, and so I'm going to go through as many as I can here, and I'll read his question and the pre-written response I wrote to help me remember what I was going to say. So, here we go. At the beginning of Star Fox Adventures, the game mentions Crystal's quest to find answers to her parents' deaths. After that, she went for about 2 years without even mentioning her planet or her quest. What's the deal with that? My response was, well, it seems like Crystal's backstory is still a mystery. Who knows, maybe it'll be explained in the next game. I'd certainly like to play it. They'd have the game sometime after Adventures, but before Assault. Maybe a little after Assault. I don't know. You gotta remember that Star Fox Command came out, and that was supposedly the end of the series, and any games they make are gonna happen before Command in the timeline. They've got plenty of time in between the games to do more story. And also, don't forget that Star Fox Adventures is a game full of loopholes, especially in the story. And so, thanks to its development time and switching companies and all this other stuff, it wouldn't be surprised me if they completely ignored the issues. It's just such a mess that Nintendo inherited as far as the story goes. They've done pretty good job so far trying to even it out, but that's one thing that they haven't really talked about. Maybe they will in the future. Who knows? His next question is, at a certain part of Star Fox Adventures, a Thorntail will tell you that you should visit the Warpstone shop. I think he's talking about the Thorntail store. Or is there a secret in the game? I bet I'm the only one who noticed this. It could have just been a typo. What's the deal? And this is the first I've ever heard of it. First time I heard it when he mentioned it. And I imagine it's a typo. I mean, Nintendo, as far as I know, the longest secret they ever kept was 5 years, I think. I mean, a little bit longer for the Metroid secret code that they revealed after 10 years, but by then they already knew about better codes than the one they gave out. But I think the longest real code that they gave out was the code for GoldenEye. They revealed some GoldenEye codes like 3 years after the game came out. So Nintendo doesn't keep that sort of thing secret. I think it's just a typo. We would have heard something about it somewhere. His next question is, when I used to play Star Fox Adventures over and over, maps laid out in my mind, I would notice some whitish fur under Crystal's loincloth. Is this a thong or just white fur? I'm just curious. This is a very sensitive subject that's been talked about a lot in the Crystal fandom. And the real answer, as far as I'm concerned, is that the 3D modeler never intended for you to see under the loincloth, so that area isn't specifically designed. They didn't really put any time to thinking in, you know, what's going to be under there. So I'm pretty sure that it's simply an uncolored, untextured white area. You know, it's just an extension of her body in that area. I don't think they really put any thought to what was going to be there, because you weren't supposed to see under there. But if you're talking within the reality of the game, I'd say, yeah, sure, it's a bikini bottom or a thong or whatever. Yeah. Like I said, there's a sensitive subject in the Crystal fandom, and you can find more about that kind of discussion probably on the KLA. I haven't seen a topic about it in a long time, but you can probably find topics about that. His next question. In response to your answer to my question last time about Crystal being in Diddy Kong Racing, I think the reason Crystal was not in Diddy Kong Racing during her cat years was that she may not have been thought up at the time. That's probably true, since Dinosaur Planet would have just begun its development. They began developing right after Diddy Kong Racing. However, it could just be because she was considered too serious a character for the laid-back atmosphere of Diddy Kong Racing. Who knows? The next question. Will Super Smash Bros. Brawl online play be free? Well, as far as we know, Brawl will have online play. They're pushing hard for that. We expect online play, although they haven't really mentioned anything about it since they announced the game. As for free, definitely. If it's a Nintendo first-party game and it's online, it's gonna be free. That's what they've been saying since the beginning. That's all their plans for, like, for the Game Boy Advance games. Those are all free online, and they're just doing the same system for the Wii. So if they have online play, it'll definitely be free. Next question. GameSpot lists two glitches in Star Fox Adventures: the elevator glitch and the flame command glitch, but fails to mention the staff glitch at the ending cutscenes of the game. After Crystal takes her staff back from Fox, he somehow has it on the Great Fox before Crystal arrives. That's true. I've heard about this one recently in a topic on the KLA, I believe, or maybe it was a Star Fox Online. But yeah, it's just a glitch. They're just using the same model. That's all. There's lots of glitches in this game. I mean, there can't be just four. There's probably a lot more. I mean, not to put down the creators. They did a great job making a beautiful game, but there was just so many areas that could be overlooked easily. I actually found one myself. I call it the Tricky Infinite Run glitch. And basically, you go to that maze area with the stone maze and the grass area. I think it's somewhere between Thorntail Hollow and the beach level. I can't remember what it's called. Something Shores or something. Anyway, there's one point where you can go all the way around in a circle, but there's a tree at one point. So you get Tricky to stand beside on like the right, left or right side of the tree, and then you hug the wall as you run. Now Tricky will keep running towards you because he's supposed to follow you, but the tree will keep him from going anywhere. So he'll keep running, he'll do the running animation, but his face will be in the tree. Then you run all the way around and stand behind him. He's still running at the tree. And you can look at him and you can walk around him, and he'll just keep running and running and running. And the only thing you can do is you can tell him to heal and he'll come back to you, or call him or whatever. So, but that's just a minor glitch, and as far as I know, I'm the only one who's noticed that one. Alright, next question. Did General Scales die? If so, I think he took it well. I doubt it. I think he just passed out from the Krazoa leaving his body. Next question. Star Fox Adventures fails to tell how Crystal got to Soria and how she got that ship. I'm sure the Sharp Claws found it and stole it from her. It's my belief that that is Crystal's ship. probably simple transport, borrowed it, or maybe somehow, I mean, she had to have been off her home planet of Serenia before its destruction at some point. So she might have been, you know, doing some kind of long-distance learning at a nearby Lylatinian planet. And whenever she found out that her planet had been destroyed, she jumped back into space using whatever small transport ship she could buy with her meager supplies. But, you know, that's... all we really know is that Crystal had the ship at the end of the game. We really don't know about that. That's something to be explained in a game about Crystal's adventures and that sort of thing. Next question. Where on Soria is the Krazoa Palace? I'm not sure exactly. I think that it's not... You can't see it on the map screen. But I think, based on the graphics of the terrain, I think it's in the Northern Pole area. His next question is a theory. He says, I have a theory. When you go to Moon Mountain Pass, talk to Peppy. He tells you that the Sharp Claw tells you about the Sharp Claws and how the moon crashed in that area, causing the Sharp Claw to have advanced technology. Maybe it has some genetic... that's his theory. And my response is, maybe it was some kind of genetic mutations or new minerals used to create technology-based weapons. They could have also traded with space travelers for new technology. It's my opinion, anyway. It's an interesting idea. I have to go back and check that area and see exactly what Peppy says. I haven't had time to go back and check what Peppy says when you're in that area. Sorry. Alright, this is a good one. I noticed a poster-like thing in the Great Fox. I read about it on the internet somewhere, that it was a poster of Farrah Phoenix from the Star Fox comics. Is it true that there is a poster there? Why, yes it is. In fact, though I wasn't the first person to discover it, about a year and a half ago, I might have been the first person to take a picture of it and post it online. You may have actually been reading my posts about the poster and not even realized it. I posted that picture, a picture of the unknown person in the Great Fox, on Star Fox Online. It was my first post on Star Fox Online. And it was because of posting there and the process of trying to explore the source code of Star Fox Adventures to find that image, to find out, you know, in higher resolution what that poster was, who it was, what it said. While exploring that, DZ Composer and others, they helped me find those unused audio clips that the Crystal Archive is so famous for. Who knew that such a simple post on a forum would lead to the creation of the Crystal Archive? It's true. I wouldn't have created the Crystal Archive if I hadn't found that poster. That's a bit of history for you, but I digress. I've looked at what I can of the poster very closely, and I've concluded that it is not Farrah Phoenix. It's just too dissimilar. What I can tell is the person on the poster is probably female, and probably a fox. She's wearing a blue bikini of some sort, and she either has really long blonde hair, or there is a golden wing emblem, kind of like the thing that they give pilots when they've done really well, flying jet fighters. It's kind of like it could be a golden wing emblem in the background behind the character, or it's her long hair. You can't tell because it's just too grainy. There's also some writing on the poster and a heart shape. It's probably some kind of signature, but I can't really make anything out. And I'll post an image in the show notes to where you can see that image and see what it looks like. But for now, until I get a chance, I get much better at reading source code and decoding that image, it's going to remain a mystery. But yes, it does exist, and was very important to the creation of the Crystal Archive. And Ryan Sharp's final question is, a friend of mine told me that if you look closely, you can see Falco and Kat's image in outer space at the end of the game. Well, I went back and looked at those ending cutscenes very closely. I have high-resolution videos of those cutscenes, and while there is a space nebula that has purple and pink colors on it, there's nothing that remotely looks like a picture of Kat and Falco. So I'm going to squash that rumor right here and now. For our final question, this is from someone else, Mr. Todd Hakusho. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. He says, "Hey Dwight, I just wanted to tell you, and I wanted to send you an email that your podcast, saying your podcast is quite good. I myself have just discovered it, but I have visited your page previous. I had just missed your podcast section, but regardless, I wanted to send you my comment. I wish I could help you with your fan art section, but I'm no good at programming. I won't keep you. You're pretty busy, so I'll just finish with this. The site and Crystal are the same. They both kick serious sharp claw rear end." Well, thank you. That's really nice. Thanks for that letter. I had to censor it if you didn't notice. But anyway, it's a very nice letter. Thank you for your comments. And what he's talking about the fan art, I'm requesting anyone who can. You don't need very much experience. All you need to know is the very basics of how to make a web page. And I need someone to help me out with the fan art section because it's an everyday thing and I'm just not sure I can keep up with it at DigiPen. So if anyone knows anything remotely about HTML and wants to help me out with the Crystal Archive, I can explain everything you need, and you'll just be the fan art manager for me. And, you know, go find the fan art, organize it into the list that I need, and then I'll run the list so it can update to the site. So you can, if you're interested, let me know. And if you have any other comments about the podcast or the site or anything else, just contact me, dwighthouse@gmail.com. I look forward to your comments and questions. And now, if you don't mind, you can go over to the next audio file in this podcast, episode 9.5 or whatever, the second part, and you'll hear the interview I recorded about two Saturdays ago, before the Crystal Archive went offline, and it'll explain how Cat the Leopardess made her crystal outfit, and all about what she did and everything like that. It's a really good listen, so have a look at that. And this has been Dwight House with the Crystal Archive Podcast, episode number 9.1.0, and we'll see you next time.